He handed William a wad of yellow, crackling paper.
"Here's an interesting one to start you off," he said.
"Oh? Whose is it?"
"Mine. It's very interesting, especially the bit where I died."
The next man to come in was in fact a troll. Unusually for trolls, who usually wore just enough to satisfy humanity's mysterious demands for decency, this one actually wore a suit. At least, it was largely tubes of cloth that covered his body, and suit was about the only word.
"Rocky," he mumbled, looking down. "I'll take any job, Gov."
"What was your last job?" said William.
"Boxer, Gov. But I wasn't happy with it. Kept getting knocked down."
"Can you write or take pictures?" said William, wincing.
"No, Gov. I can do heavy lifting, and I can whistle tunes, Gov."
"That's a good talent, but I don't think we..." The door flew open, and a thick-shouldered, leather-clad man burst in, flourishing an axe.
"You've got no right putting that about me in the paper," he said, waving the blade under William's nose.
"Who are you?"
"I'm Breezok the Barbarian, and I..."
The brain works fast when it thinks it is about to be cut in half.
"Oh, if it's a complaint you have to take it up with the Complaints, Beheadings and Horsewhippings editor," said William. "Mr. Rocky here."
"That's me,"
boomed Rocky cheerfully, laying a hand on the man's shoulder. There was only room for three of his fingers. Breezok sagged.
"I just want to say," said Breezok slowly, "that you put in and I hit someone with a table. I never done that. What would people think of me if they heard I go round hitting people with tables? What did that do to my reputation?"
"I see.
I knifed him. A table's a sissy weapon."
"We shall certainly print a correction," said William, picking up his pencil.
"You couldn't add that I tore Slicer Gadley's ear off with my teeth, could you? That'd make people sit up. Ears aren't easy to do."
When they had all gone, Rocky to sit on a chair outside the door, William and Saccharissa stared at one another. "It's been a very strange morning," he said.
"I've found out about the winter," said Saccharissa, "and there was an unlicensed theft from a jewellery shop in the Artificers' Street. They got quite a lot of silver."
"How did you find that out?"
"One of the journeyman jewellers told me."
Saccharissa gave a little cough.
"He, always comes to have a little chat with me when he sees me walking past."
"Really? Well done.
And while I was waiting for you, I had an idea. I got Gunilla to set this in type."
She shyly pushed a piece of paper across the desk. "The Ankh-Morpork Times. The truth shall make ye free. Extra."
"It looks more impressive at the top of the page," she said nervously. "What do you think?"
"What are the fruit salads and leaves and things?" said William. Saccharissa blushed.
"I did that. A bit of unofficial engraving. I thought it might make it look, you know, high class and impressive. Do you like it?"
"It's very good," said William hurriedly.
"Very nice. Cherries. Grapes."
Yes, of course, I meant grapes.
"What's the quote from? It's very meaningful without meaning anything very much."
"I think it's just a quote," said Saccharissa. Mr. Pin lit a cigarette and blew a stream of smoke into the still damp air of the wine cellar.
"Now, it seems to me that what we have got here is a failure to communicate," he said. "I mean, it's not like we're asking you to memorise a book or anything. You've just got to look at Mr. Tulip here. Is this hard? Lots of people do it without any kind of special training."
"I just sort of lose my bottle," said Charlie. His feet clanked against several empty ones.
"Mr. Tulip is not a scary man," said Mr. Pin.
This was flying in the face of the current evidence, he had to admit. His partner had bought a twist of what the dealer had sworn was devil dust, but which looked to Mr. Pin very much like powdered copper sulphate. And this had apparently reacted with the chemicals from the slab which had been Mr. Tulip's afternoon snack and turned one of his sinuses into a small bag of electricity. His right eye was spinning slowly and sparks twinkled on his nasal hairs.
"I mean, does he look scary?" Mr. Pin went on. "Remember, you are Lord Veterinari, understand? You're not going to take anything from some guard. If he talks back to you, just look at him."
"Like this,"
said Mr. Tulip, half of his face flashing on and off. Charlie leapt back.
"Not quite like that, perhaps," said Mr. Pin, "but close."
"I don't want to do this any more,"
Charlie wailed.
$10,000, Charlie," said Mr. Pin. "That's a lot of money."
"I've heard of this Veterinari,"